Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Pray with me. Indeed, Lord, we thank you for giving it all for us. You didn't hold back. You never hold back. And Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give us every day. You give us something, life. Every breath that we take, every heartbeat is a gift from you. And Lord, we've been meditating on the Sabbath, which is another of those gifts that you have given us. And our desire is to appreciate that gift the way you intended. And so please guide our message today. May you be glorified and may you share with us something practical that will help us in our walk with you. That's our prayer tonight, this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Vic about this, providential, really, because during Forecasting Hope, the last two presentations of Forecasting Hope have been about the Sabbath, Revelations, Worship, War 1 and 2. And so we talked about the Sabbath. We looked at the passages that address Sunday, the first day of the week last night. And so it's been some great presentations, and the lucky preached both presentations and did an awesome job. So we end today the third and final part of the Sabbath Challenge series. And so three parts. On the first presentation, we talked about the fact that the Sabbath was made for you. Well, only made for you, only one. The Sabbath was made for you. It's a gift from God to you. God wants to spend time with you, a relationship with you. And I mentioned that oftentimes we, perhaps because that's the way we were taught, that we have made the Sabbath more of a days of do's and don'ts than a day that it is supposed to be for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, for our delight, for our blessing. We looked at that last week when we looked at and said that the Sabbath, according to Isaiah 56, is supposed to be a day of happiness, a day of joy, a day of blessedness, and that perhaps the reason why we are not enjoying it that way is because we're failing to prepare. We need to prepare. And so remember the quote that I shared with you, that Sabbath preparations happens all week. We start preparing for the Sabbath on Sunday, right? Because we're looking forward to the Sabbath to come. And so we make all our preparations so that we can be ready to receive the Sabbath. Now, notice the title of the message today. By the way, you have study guides in your bulletin, so take those out. And you'll be able to complete them by looking at the PowerPoint. The Sabbath-keeping conundrum. Because some of you are wondering, okay, Pastor, I understand all that, but I'm still wondering about the do's and don'ts of Sabbath-keeping. So the Sabbath-keeping conundrum, and I'll start with a story. The Marino family loved the Sabbath, like many of you. It was a cherished day of rest, reflection, and togetherness. But as their children grew older, their understanding of the Sabbath became a source of tension. Maybe you can relate to that if you have kids that are a little older. Mr. and Mrs. Marino had been raised with strict traditions. No TV, no sports, no unnecessary work. It was a day meant solely for worship, prayer, and family time. Their teenage son, Leo, saw things differently. If the Sabbath is supposed to be joyful, why can't I play soccer with my friends? Does God really care if I kick a ball? His younger sister, Anna, had a different struggle. She loved painting, and nothing made her feel closer to God than creating beauty with her brush. But her parents insisted painting was work, not rest. One particular Sabbath, the tension boiled over. Leo wanted to join a charity soccer match, raising funds for a sick child in their town. Anna wanted to paint a mural for the church. The parents refused. The Sabbath isn't about whatever makes us happy, they said. It's about obedience. But the kids responded, but isn't serving others honoring God too? Is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? Now, after a long discussion, Mrs. Marino hesitated. Maybe their children were seeing something that they had missed. So that afternoon, they all went to the soccer match together, not to play, but to support. And I helped with decorations and at the event and adding touches of beauty to the space. By sunset, the Marino family sat together feeling closer than ever. The rules were important, but so was the heart behind them. From that day forward, they tried to balance their traditions with grace, always seeking what would truly honor God, not just in restrictions, but in love. Now, I realize that that story is a bit like a sitcom where the problem is solved by the end of the episode, but it highlights a real conundrum within Adventism. How does one keep the Sabbath holy? In her book, From Sundown to Sundown, notice this is from Dr. May Ellen Colong. She writes about her extensive research on the Sabbath in countries around the world. In fact, she made her doctoral dissertation on this very subject. Notice what she says in this passage, in this statement. I've observed that while nearly all Adventists agree on the time frame of the Sabbath, there is considerable divergence of opinions about the practices of and motivations for Sabbath keeping. And so notice what she finds, that within Adventism, it's much like what we talked about with the Jews. Remember, the issue with the Jews in Jesus' time is never which day is the Sabbath, because everybody understood the Sabbath is the seventh day. There was no argument about it. The issues that they were having, and of course Jesus presented that, we talked about that in the first presentation, is how to keep it holy. And Jesus, of course, came and did a Sabbath reform because they had lost sight of the Sabbath. And I wonder, perhaps maybe Jesus needs to come and do a Sabbath reform with us. Because perhaps we have also followed the Jewish traditions in that sense. And then she goes on to quote a study conducted in several countries around the world that revealed a number of different ways in which Adventists keep the Sabbath. Some of which, if you were to see and you were to look how they keep the Sabbath, you may wonder, what are they doing? They're breaking the Sabbath. There's differences, notice. And so she asks this question. Should Adventists view the existence of varied and sometimes contradictory practice in a positive light? Or should we consider this reality as evidence of a problem in our Sabbath keeping? And so here, again, I mentioned this before. The reality is we are a multicultural church. And when it comes to Sabbath keeping, there are things that maybe you did in your country or you didn't do in your country, right? That when you come here to America, things are very different. Well, when I was in my country, we didn't do this on the Sabbath, but I find that I come to America and this is happening on the Sabbath, and vice versa. And so the issue is this a problem? Or is there a cultural, you know, is culture has to do something with this? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves, because sometimes it's easy for us to judge a particular behavior and say, well, that shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. But that person may be looking at us and saying to us, well, that shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. And we could argue, go back and forth until our faces turn blue and never get to any resolution. And so we need to consider these things very carefully. And so I want to ask you a question. It's a rhetorical question. But I really want you to meditate on this question, not only now, but as you go home and you think about this series, what we've talked about, I really want you to meditate on this question and answer it and figure out how to answer it. So here's the question. What does the Sabbath mean to you in your relationship with God? That's what I want you to consider and meditate and pray about this very carefully. Because what I said before is that, again, oftentimes we make the Sabbath about do's and don'ts. We focus on the negative aspect of Sabbath observance, and we forget that the Sabbath is about a relationship. God wants to spend time with you uninterrupted. He wants you to meditate on him. Spend time together. You know, the other day, Lucky was talking about this. He said, You know, he presented this example. He said, what if your husband said, listen, honey, I'm going to dedicate a day to you, and we're going to go to a restaurant, we're going to have a date, we're going to have a great time together, and your wife is looking forward to spending time with her husband, and when we get there, I pick up the phone and start scrolling and answering my phone calls or my emails, etc., and I'm my head, and of course you see this in restaurants all the time, people are not talking anymore, they're glued to their phones. And so how would you feel if that was you? If your partner, if your loved one said, yeah, I want to spend time with you, we set this day apart, but then we're not paying attention, you're not talking, you're not really spending time together. And so what does the Sabbath mean to you in your relationship with God? Now, this very question, in her research, she asked to Adventists around the world. And obviously, she got a number of answers. And I'm going to share a few of those with you because I think you'll be able to relate to some of these answers. But when I share these answers, it goes to show you that there is, when we think about the Sabbath challenge, it's not just our challenge. It's a challenge of many people around the world. And so, again, this is very important. So, what does the Sabbath mean to you in your relationship with God? Here's the first answer that was given. Sadly enough, it is a burden for me because I cannot experience it freely. On other days, I have more inner peace and rest period. I hope and pray that that I can experience the Sabbath as a blessed and nice day. So notice, this is again, these are Adventists answering this question. And one, this particular one said, it is a burden for me. Can you think about that? Maybe you can relate. It doesn't go into details why this person said it was a burden, but it's something serious if this person can experience the peace that God wants for the Sabbath on any other day of the week but the Sabbath. Why is that? Well, there may be some reasons that I'll share here in a second. So what does the Sabbath mean to you in your relationship with God? Here's another answer. Right now, I'm not sure. Sabbath morning is such a hustle with children. Arrive at church, get to Sabbath school, potty, feed, and play with the kids outside the church so they don't disturb anyone, and then go home ready to sleep. It sounds like I ignore him. At least it feels that way. If you have little kids, and especially moms, you probably can relate to this. And you get home after church, and you are exhausted. The last thing you're thinking about is, I'm going to go to Forecasting Hope tonight. Because, you know, you're tired. Can you relate to this? This is another, obviously, an Adventist mother who responded to that. What does the Sabbath mean to you and your relationship with God? Here's the third answer. Not enough. I see the Sabbath as a day for my relationship with God, but somehow this does not work yet because of too many programs. You know, I've had conversations with some of you that believe, and I tend to agree with this, when our worship service is over, we all go home, unless we have potluck, and then after potluck, we go home. And there's nothing going on in the afternoon. There's nothing going on until next week. And if you're not part of a prayer meeting, which most of you aren't, you won't do anything churchy, if you will, for lack of a better word, until next Sabbath. And so, you know, it would be nice if we had something in the afternoon on Sabbath, right? Vespers, AY, I mean, you name it. And obviously, a lot of churches, and you may be coming from churches, and especially in your culture, that's the way it was. That there's something in the afternoon. I wish I had the volunteers to say, well, we're going to do this and that Sabbath afternoon. That's a different story. That being said, there are churches that program everything on Sabbath. And I'm talking about board meeting is on Sabbath. Finance committee meeting is on Sabbath. Any type of meeting that the pastor needs to be in, or it's on Sabbath. Besides that, then you have, are we going to go out and visit people? It's on Sabbath because God forbid we do it any other day of the week. And so it's got to be on Sabbath because people don't have time because of their busy schedules. So the only time they have available to do anything related to church is on Sabbath. So what happens? The Sabbath is full of activity, full of meetings, full of this, that, and the other. And let's face it, friends, I praise God that our board meetings are usually civilized. But I'm sure you've been in some churches that they're in. I mean, you can fight. You can go to blows with somebody. You know what I mean? On Sabbath. And so it's any wonder why, because listen, just because you're doing church things doesn't mean you're working on your relationship with God. I've come that to experience it myself as a pastor that, because I am OCD, I'm very task-oriented. I want to make sure I finish this task before I move to the other. And so busy doing, you know, preparing for meetings and preparing for this and that. And I realized at one point that I wasn't working on my relationship with God because I was involved in church. Imagine that. And so this can happen. And in this case, again, this particular individual, this experience, is that too many things on Sabbath. I have colleagues. Again, this is, and they say pastors are very busy on Sabbath, which is the next one that I'm going to share with you. But I do have colleagues that they leave at their house at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they won't come back until 10 o'clock at night. And that's every Sabbath. Which brings me to this one. What does the Sabbath mean to you in your relationship with God? Notice this one. Sabbath is a wonderful time for spiritual communication with God, but a pastor almost never has time for this. Why? Because, of course, if you have board meeting, if you have finance committee meeting, if you have to be, you know, want to support the AY and you want to be there for Vespers, et cetera, it can get pretty busy. And if you're a pastor that has 3 or 4 churches, even more, because I have colleagues who they visit every one of their churches every Sabbath. Wow. They might have 3 churches, so they make the arrangement. Okay, I'll stay half an hour here, and then I'll go to the next one, and then I'll go to the next one, and you're driving all that time. It's tiring, right? And so this happens more than you think. One final one. What does this mean? What does the Sabbath mean in your relationship with God? Well, it means another semi-boring day that is filled with meetings, missionary stories, and sleep. It doesn't really help my relationship with God. So notice, this is from an Adventist. It doesn't really help my relationship with God. A semi-boring day. Again, notice when we communicate this, especially if you have kids, the kids are, well, when we focus on the negative aspect of our Sabbath observance, all you say and you communicate is that you can't do this, you can't do that because it's the Sabbath. And we focus on so much on the I can'ts, then we forget about the I cans, the things we get to do on the Sabbath. That it's not that I can't work on the Sabbath, it's that I don't have to. Is that I get to be off on the Sabbath. I get to spend time with my family on the Sabbath. I get to go for a walk on the Sabbath. I get to see my church family on the Sabbath. See the difference?
Yes, sir.
But we focus on the negative. And so some of the children, and maybe some of you adults, this is why you're looking at the clock and what time is sunset today? Oh, okay, well, we got 5 minutes. All right, get there so we can go back to our lives. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way, friends. And so our challenge involves failing to prepare, as I said last week, for what should be a joyful Sabbath celebration. But understanding who we are and the true meaning of the Sabbath will make us eager to fully embrace it. So we need to understand who we are and what the Sabbath truly means. And so here's the question, how can we enjoy this divine gift that is meant for our happiness, which was made a command due to humanity's reluctance? And friends, the answer to this relies on God. It's on God. God is the one who gave us the gift in the first place. So notice this, by focusing on the Creator, we can resolve issues surrounding our Sabbath observance. By focusing on who? The implication is that many of us are focusing on ourselves. What's in it for me? Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. The Sabbath was created for us, for our benefit. We are going to receive a blessing from the Sabbath, but sometimes it becomes just about us, and we forget that it's about God. It's about spending time with God. So we need to focus on the Creator. So, let's go to our scripture reading. Again, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. You know this passage very well. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. You'll see it also on the screen. The Bible says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. What do you call the Sabbath?
Delight.
A delight. A holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I've actually preached on these passages about the Sabbath some years ago. I preached on this very thing. We broke this down and we dedicated some time to it. So I'm not going to go into all those details. Suffice to say, friends, that God through Isaiah here is explaining what keeping the Sabbath looks like. Right? When we'll delight in a Sabbath when we follow these principles we find in verse 13. Okay? So while rules are necessary, you know, the do's and don'ts, what I was talking about, they're necessary, they shouldn't overshadow the true purpose of the Sabbath or hinder our relationship with Him. Again, sometimes we focus so much on, well, what's in it for me? Let me give you an example. Years ago, while I was a pastor at Murfreesboro, a couple started to visit with us. A couple and their son started to visit our church, and very nice couple, lived in Smyrna. Very nice, and we got to be friends, and eventually we started having Bible studies together. I was giving them Bible studies. And so we finished the Bible studies. Everything was great. They loved the idea of the Sabbath, and they were baptized. And so after they were baptized, I continued meeting with them, going over the discipleship handbook. Those of you in prayer meeting know that we studied the discipleship handbook. So I was going over that after their baptism. And in the midst of all this, I preached this sermon that I just told you about from Isaiah 58 at Murfreesboro. I preached this message. And then I remember on one occasion when I went to their house to continue studying the discipleship handbook, they were a bit standoffish. And they told me, Pastor, you just ruined the Sabbath for us. Now, I said, well, ruined it. That's a bold statement. I ruined the Sabbath. What did I do? Well, I preached on this message about the fact that the Sabbath is about God, not finding our own pleasure, but it's about Him. And they told me, Pastor, one of the greatest blessings for us on the Sabbath was that after we got home from our worship service, we find it very restful and relaxing to sit down and watch the football game. That was relaxing. That was restful for us. And you just took that away from us. But notice that, and by the way, I take full responsibility. I was the one who gave him Bible study, so obviously I didn't explain this correctly. But notice that their view of the Sabbath was what's in it for me. And as long as I find this restful and relaxing, I'm keeping the Sabbath. And they forgot that this is about a relationship. Again, if anything that gets in the way from your relationship with God, from you spending time with your loved one, is probably something that you should put away. I mean, think about it. Are you really focusing on God when you're watching football?
No.
In fact, if your team isn't winning, some words may come out of your mouth that are not the best ones. Or at the very least, you start hitting things when the Eagles start losing. Now, don't be. Amen. Sometimes we major in minors. Yeah. I shared this illustration with you earlier this year. It's called the priority jar. Yeah, the priority jar. It was filled with large rocks, pebbles, and sand. The rocks are supposed to go first, then the pebbles, and lastly the sand, right? Like you see the one on the right there. If you start with the sand, There's no space for the pebbles and the rocks, right? We sometimes major on minors. And so while when seeking guidance on Sabbath keeping, friends, begin with the essential matters. Often we focus on the rules, like keeping the Sabbath holy, and we miss what? We miss the principles, because we're focused on the rules themselves. And so start with understanding God's character and eternal qualities, and then consider the timeless truths that apply universally. So remember, we start with God, because it is his Sabbath after all, right? He says, my holy day. And so this book that I just told you, Dr. Cologne, addresses this very thing, and she presents what she calls the test of truth. The test of truth. And this is something that will help us understand, in this case, in this context, what are the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath? How to appropriately keep the Sabbath? Although, as we'll go over this, you'll probably find that you probably can use this test over anything, any subject within your walk with God within the Bible. As you may wonder about, is this true, is this right or wrong? You probably could use this test, and that will help you and guide you into what decision you need to make. So the test of truth, she focuses on what's called the three P's. Three lenses by which we ought to view any particular subject, in this case, the Sabbath. So the test or the lens of precept, principle, and person. Precept, principle, and person. This is the test of truth. So let's break these down for our understanding. So here's the first lens, the lens of precept. So precepts are just the initial step in grasping God's will for Christians. So when we think about precept, we're talking about the rules, the commands, okay? And so notice there, for example, God directly instructed us to keep the Sabbath on the seventh day. That is the principle, that is the precept or the rule, the command, keep the Sabbath on the seventh day. However, his commands indicate broader principles, universal principles. So we move from precept to principles, and principles, this is the second lens. A principle is a fundamental truth or standard used to measure, regulate, or guide conduct. So we use the principles to understand the reason behind the precepts. Unlike rules, which may change, principles remain constant and can be applied in various situations. So sometimes rules change, right? Yeah. I mean, for example, a clear one is that God gave the rule to the children of Israel that when they committed sin, they had to bring a lamb to the tabernacle, and they would confess their sins and transfer the sins, and the lamb died in their place. That was a rule. That was a command. But did it last forever? No, it changed because those things appointed us to Jesus, okay? So principles explain the reason behind commands. The reason behind commands. For example, value in our relationship with God underpins the observance of the Sabbath. So that's the reason why. That's the principle behind it. There are rules, there are precepts concerning the Sabbath, but the principle is because we love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Right? You know, Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So why do you keep the commandments? Because we love Jesus. And obviously the Sabbath is part of the commandments. So why do you keep the Sabbath? Because we love Jesus, right? That's the principle, and that doesn't change, okay? The Bible offers us other principles that guide our Sabbath keeping. Notice, all stemming from the overarching principle of love. That's why we do it, okay? Understanding these principles help us make informed choices for observing the Sabbath and living a Christian life. But notice, principles are not the ultimate foundation. There is a deeper level beyond them. And that goes into the third lens, which is the lens of a person or the person. Practices are not just right just because they reflect principles, but because they come from God as if saying, it's right because God said so. Right? But obviously God is a God of love, right? We love God. If he says so, he knows what's best for us. To live a Christian life and keep the Sabbath, we need to understand God's nature, attributes, and character. Knowing him helps us make the right choices, right? Because we want to imitate God, right? If you get to know God, who God is, his character, and you say, I want to be like that, that's certainly a good way to determine what's right and what's wrong, because God is never going to do wrong, right? So true Sabbath keeping centers on God, friends. Because again, it is his Sabbath. It's not your Sabbath. Sometimes we say it this way, well, I can't work on the Sabbath because it's my Sabbath. On Saturday because it's my Sabbath. It sounds all nice and everything, but it's not true. It's not your Sabbath. It's his. It is my holy day, Jesus says there in verse 13. Okay? It's not only about the purpose of the rules, but about reflecting the rule maker, Jesus Christ. So notice, the Sabbath is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And, you know, we can clearly separate some Sabbath choices into right or wrong. There are things about the Sabbath, about how to keep it holy, that are pretty straightforward, right? There are some things that are either black or white. But there are some things that have a little bit of a gray area. So, for example, it is clearly right to refrain from secular work on the Sabbath. It is clearly correct, which tells us that it is clearly wrong to do secular work on the Sabbath. Nobody's arguing with that. It's pretty clear cut. It is also right to avoid commercial transactions on the Sabbath, according to Nehemiah chapter 13, right? That is correct, okay? But again, sometimes we are confronted with options that are more difficult to decide, issues that appear to be right versus right. Let me give you an example. Again, we go to verse 13. Isaiah 58, 13 tells us, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my whole holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. So is the Sabbath supposed to be a delight? Yes, it's supposed to be a delight. Okay. Since the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight, then, that would imply that we can enjoy delightful food on the Sabbath. Can we enjoy delightful food on the Sabbath? We have nice fellowship lunches and you know, and by the way, we can enjoy also fellowship on the Sabbath, right? Can we do that on the Sabbath? So we can enjoy good food on the Sabbath. We can enjoy good fellowship on the Sabbath. Nothing wrong with that, right? Amen. Let's take this a step further then. So does this mean that it's permissible to eat out at restaurants on the Sabbath? Because at a restaurant, I can enjoy good food. I can also enjoy good fellowship. So, I mean, it's the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight. Therefore, the logic seems to lead that it's okay to do that. Now, I mention this, friends, because this is a hot button in Adventism. In fact, I may even go as far to say that some of you probably go to a restaurant after church on Sabbath. It happens. It happens, friends. And I tell you why it happens. Because sometimes we focus on one particular aspect. And again, when we focus on the negative aspect of our Sabbath observance, then we can come to wrong conclusions. So, please, humor me here. Because I've had conversations with Adventists who see nothing wrong with going to the restaurant on the Sabbath, and they say, well, I am not really having commercial transactions because I'm using my credit card. And I pay the credit card at the end of the month, so technically I'm not really paying that day, so I'm not having any commercial transactions. That is probably the weakest argument I could ever have. It doesn't matter. It's a commercial transaction. But notice, friends, that when we focus on one particular thing, and in this case, the negative aspect of, as long as I don't do this, I'm keeping the Sabbath holy, because we just focus on one thing. I may have told you this story before, but I'll say it anyway. Years ago, when Lucy and I were in Philadelphia. We belonged to the First Hispanic Church of Philadelphia. And many of the members of that church worked for a particular corporation in Philadelphia. It was called Cardone Industries. They did remanufactured car parts. And many of them worked in that place. And the owners of this corporation were Christian, too. And they were very family-oriented, very good people. And so once a year, they would do some kind of activity for their employees to, you know, to bring their families, have a good time, etc. Well, one particular year, I remember they rented a theme park somewhere in Jersey, in a tri-state area. They rented a theme park. So the theme park was closed to the public, and it was just for the employees of Cardone. And this was all-inclusive. You didn't have to pay for parking. You didn't have to pay to come in the park for rides, food, drinks. Everything was included if you were an employee of Cardone. It was think about it. And, of course, as you can probably tell, the activity was done when? It was on Saturday. And a number of our church members went. And what was their justification? Well, everything is included. I don't have to pay for anything, so it's okay. Again, think about this. If you've ever been in a theme park, probably the last thing you're thinking about is your relationship with God. Amen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to a theme park. You're having a good time. You're going with your family, great. But you're not focusing on God. You're focusing on the environment. And by the way, the environment is also very important of where you go. When I think about restaurants, well, I mean, it could be you're going with your family, and that's it, and not all. You're focused on your family, but the environment, the music that's in the restaurant, maybe the other conversations that are happening in the restaurant, again, not conducive to you working on your relationship with God, okay? So, anyway, this test of truth, precept, principle, and person can give us a biblical blueprint, a practical blueprint in understanding the moral absolutes. But now, a disclaimer. Following this test of truth isn't a quick fix. It's not a machine that solves problems instantly. However, this approach can guide us toward a sensible and principled Sabbath keeping and help in various situations when used with genuine what? Love of God. This should be the reason behind it. You should not use the test of truth to see how close you can get to the line that separates proper Sabbath observance and not proper observance. So you want to go as close to the line as possible without jumping over and breaking the Sabbath. No, it should be about love. Because you want to please the God that you love. Because you want to spend time with the God you love. Because he went out of his way to create a day to spend time with you. So, I'm going to share a scenario with you that we're going to use this test of truth, precept, principle, and person, so that it gives you an idea how to do this, okay? Now, in this book, From Sunset to Sunset, Dr. Colon shares an experience that she had that will help us in here. So, Dr. Colon had a friend her name is Kathy. But what is her name? Kathy, okay. And Kathy has an aunt, and her aunt needs to sell her home. This was a very urgent thing. She needed to sell this home in North Carolina. Now, both Kathy and her aunt are Seventh-day Adventists, okay? And her aunt called Kathy to ask for counsel because a couple was coming to see the house. Now, this couple were very interested in purchasing this house, but they haven't seen it yet, but they were going to, and they needed to see it on Saturday. Now, Kathy's aunt has specified no Sabbath showings, but the realtor forgot. So now she's in this situation, and so her aunt didn't know what to do, so she calls on Kathy. Kathy, I have this situation. What counsel can you give me? Well, Kathy responds initially, she said, what to do? I didn't know what to do. I mean, she really needs to sell this house. Besides that, they're just going to be looking. No business transactions were going to be conducted. So notice, when you focus on only the negative aspect of Sabbath keeping, then you get confused, okay? And if you sold your house before or you purchased a house, you're going to see it. You say, well, all right, I like the house. I'm getting an offer. It's not like you're going to pay them right then and there. So clearly, there's no business transactions. They were just looking at the house. Is there anything wrong with looking at the house? Well, so initially, Kathy did not know what to say. Sticking to the letter of the law seemed to be the safe alternative. But she says, I was tired of Sabbath keeping, just being a matter of just guessing whether or not a certain action was hidden in some master list of rules about the Sabbath, much like the 39 categories the Jews had created, like I talked to you about this a few weeks ago. Yeah. But after thinking about this for a few minutes and applying the test of truth to this situation, this is what Kathy told her aunt. So the light went on after she used this test of truth. So this is what she said. Every precept should be based on a principle, and every principle should arise from something in the personhood of God. This really summarizes the whole test of truth. Every precept is based on a principle, and every principle arises out of something about God. Okay? His character, who he is, for us to seek to emulate and worship him, right? We want to imitate God. And so she says, I began to talk through this situation in that context. So she goes on to saying, the precept was that even the stranger within your gates is not to work. Isn't that what the command says? It says, well, you shall not work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, etc. No other stranger that's within your gate. So notice, interesting, that God gives us the gift of the Sabbath, but he wants us to share that gift with others. The stranger within the gate is clearly a non-Sabbath keeper. And so you want to share that with them. You want them to have the blessing of the Sabbath. So notice, by precept alone, a person wanting to be circumspect would ask that no one view the house on the Sabbath with an interest in purchasing it, by precept alone. Because while you may argue, well, the couple is just looking, there's nothing wrong with looking, and they're not going to be coming doing a business transaction, but the realtor is working, isn't it? The realtor, part of the realtor's job is to show the house. That's what they do. Okay, so by precept alone, this would, you know, she, and by the way, she did it because, you know, she told the realtor no Sabbath showings for that very reason. Okay, because, and by the way, some of you, of course, have had work done in the house, right? And sometimes, you know, the roofers come or people do the siding, and our neighbors next door are doing that right now. They're changing the siding in their house, and it's all this noise there, and I'm glad that I'm not there. But if you had, if this was your experience, you should do the same thing. Don't do work in the house on the Sabbath. Yeah, you're not the one working, but really think about the environment and on the Sabbath when somebody's working, and you should be thinking about then. No stranger within your gate. So again, by precept alone. But some of you right now are probably thinking, yeah, Pastor, I think you're taking this to the extreme. Because some rational thinkers will come up with a plausible reason to explain away work, to explain away stranger, and to explain away within your gates. So, considering this, on to the principle of the matter. So the principles, in my thinking, this is Kathy talking, are that we are to trust Christ as our Creator, Lord, and Savior, and to obey his commands or precept as a pledge of that we love, trust, and worship him. And so remember the reason behind the Sabbath. It's because we love Jesus. It's about that. Or primarily about that. And so that is the principle. So by precept, you shouldn't do it. But those who argue against the precept, well, let's look at the principle. And that doesn't change. We ought to love, trust our God, right? That's the principle, right? So, yeah. But how was this going to bring us closer to a resolution over this matter? She asks. Well, on to the personhood aspect of the truth. And she says, what truth about God did this precept and this principle lead us to? God the Son trusted his Father during his earthly ministry. Remember, when we look at what God is, his character, who he is because we want to imitate him. And Jesus showed that he trusted God. And because we want to be like Jesus, we want to trust God. And the principle of the Sabbath has to do with our love and trust for God. Therefore, we apply the precept, which is no stranger within your gate. It stems from this. God, it's all about God. In Gethsemane and on the cross, Jesus modeled complete trust and submission to his Father's will. As Lord of our lives, he asks us to trust and obey him. Notice, even if we do not know how something will work out or why he asks us to do something, we're still going to trust him. Amen. We submit to him freely and obediently to his lordship and care. And she goes on to say this to me, that is why we would choose not to let someone show our house on the Sabbath. If there is any doubts about whether or not it was okay to let the house shown on the Sabbath, I would want to err on the side of trust and obedience, the principle, because we want to be like God and not let the stranger within your gates to be in your house working, because you're trusting God, that God would bring about the sale of the house at the appropriate time. And by the way, the primary reason why eating out at restaurants on the Sabbath is not a good thing is because of the stranger within your gates. Because you need to be thinking about them. It's not just about you. We need to be thinking about them. And the fact that you are there creates the environment that there's a need to serve you. And so, you know, the argument is, well, listen, I'm not the one cooking. So I'm not, as long as I'm not cooking and I'm not paying for this, I'm okay. No, friends, you need to think about the stranger within your gates. So trust is what's central at this issue that we're looking at. Did her aunt truly trust God to sell her house in his time, regardless of her efforts? So Kathy initially, you know, thought that this scenario was a bit nitpicking. But she realized that the Sabbath keeping involves deeper questions about our relationship with God rather than just simply following rules. And she ends by saying it was fulfilling to make Sabbath keeping decisions based finally on God and not just about me. Well, Kathy's aunt went to sell the house eventually and sold another one that she had to sell without her efforts. You know, by not letting it show on the Sabbath. Now, if we run this test through this scenario through the test of truth, this is what it looks like. By precept, show trust and obedience to God by not allowing the stranger within your gates to work. That's the precept based on the principle of trusting and obeying God, because Jesus modeled trust and obedience, and so should we. This is what it looks like. And again, the test of truth can be used in any situation in the context of what we're talking about the do's and don'ts of Sabbath keeping. You can apply this principle or this test to help you make the right decision. But I find that you can apply this test to just about any other topic that, you know, issue that you may be having. You know, somebody was talking about the issue of jewelry. Well, we can apply this test over the issue of jewelry in determining what is right and what's not. Okay? Now, the title of the message is the Sabbath conundrum, the Sabbath keeping conundrum. And so this test of truth can help us in our Sabbath keeping conundrum. In her book, The Gift, notice the title is What the Sabbath Means to Me. This is actually a very good book, because it's a book about stories of different people in different parts of the world and their testimonies about Sabbath keeping. It's a very good book. So you can get it too. But Professor Nicita Davis writes about her misunderstanding about the Sabbath. And notice what she says there, that the consequences of misunderstanding can have far-reaching effects and result in missed opportunities, frustrated plans, fractured relationships, and worse. So notice, this is true about misunderstanding about just about anything. Yeah. But she goes on to say, for decades I misunderstood the Sabbath and what God wanted me to learn about and experience through his special invitation. What was it that I misunderstood about the Sabbath, you ask? Well, pretty much everything. I misunderstood that in the beginning, God, who spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast, was inviting me to remember that he is a creator, and when he finishes his work, it is very good. I misunderstood that the Sabbath is a reminder that any and all things I lack in spiritual, mental, physical, social, financial, and professional areas can be brought to life, spoken into life, into existence by the in-beginning God. So sometimes we make these our choices about Sabbath keeping based on these needs, whether spiritual, mental, physical, but God can satisfy all of them. Yeah. I misunderstood that the Sabbath is a time of rest to refresh, recalibrate, and reset after a challenging week. I misunderstood God's love of beauty as seen in nature. But more than anything, she says, I misunderstood that through the Sabbath, the in the beginning God is constantly reassuring me that I am His and that He is mine. I now see, she says, I see now the consequences of misunderstanding the Sabbath and consequently the God of the Sabbath. For years I did not personally know the loving care of the in-beginning God, but notice now I know it is by design that the Sabbath is a sign between God and me. His desire is that where I am there, you may be also. I can rest in my relationship with the in-beginning God, the creator and the sustainer. And guess what? She says, just as he said in the beginning, it is still very good. Amen. So friends, could it be that we have also misunderstood the Sabbath? Sure, we can provide the greatest arguments about the seventh day Sabbath, right? It's the seventh day that we should keep it. God never changed it. All those things. We can do a good presentation. As Seventh-day Adventists, friends, we need to communicate not only the correctness of the Sabbath day and when it is, we need to communicate the experience of joy and celebration that it's supposed to be. I want you to consider this, because this is probably part of the problem that others, this misunderstanding of the Sabbath, it spreads. Because if your understanding of the Sabbath is that it is a requirement, that it is a command, and it is, but that's all you're thinking of, and if all you're thinking of is you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, when you share the Sabbath with somebody, that's what you're going to be communicating. That's the message that they're going to be getting. Okay, well, I understand the Sabbath is a command, and I better do it because it's a command. Well, I got to figure out what I can't do on the Sabbath. But when you share not only the reality that it's on the seventh day, etc., but the joy, the blessedness, the happiness, the things I get to do on the Sabbath, and you share and you're witnessing about the Sabbath to other people, that's what they're going to get too. And they're going to finally conclude, wow, I want some of that. We need to experience the blessing of the Sabbath. Let us start preparing for the Sabbath so we can see it as the day of joy and celebration that it's supposed to be. A day to show mercy to those who are in need. A day that is meant to foster our relationship with God, because after all, it is His Sabbath and not ours. Let's experience the blessing of the Sabbath.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.